1 John 5, verses 1 through 13. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify: the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree. If we receive the testimony of men, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has borne concerning his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. Whoever does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has borne concerning his Son. And this is the testimony: that God has, or gave us, eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. This is the word of the Lord. Lord, we are very grateful for your holy scriptures. We're thankful for the Holy Spirit, who at a moment can illuminate your holy words. And eyes that once couldn't see, and ears that once couldn't hear, and a mind that couldn't think correctly, a heart that wasn't beating for you, suddenly is born again, becomes alive. And a transformation takes place that only you could bring about. Father, we would ask that today you would remind us about that transformation. And we pray that you would enact that transformation in the lives of any among us this day who don't know you. Would you show that mercy and grace to them, that they would find as they walk out these doors this day, that your commandments aren't burdensome, because now they're in you, the one who has fulfilled the law, our Savior Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen. The way I want to look at this text today is by sharing with you incredible news of answered prayer. Two Sundays ago, crowds of people gathered up on these steps, and you had highlighted for you various trips that are going to take place this summer. One of those trips concluded last Sunday as five buses returned from the Florida trip. Here's the report. 25 students professed faith in Christ for the first time. That's exactly right. I want you to hear it again. 25 students indicated on a card that kids receive, all of them receive, that this was the week in which they professed faith in Christ for the first time. Hallelujah. 25 new babes in Christ. If I was baptizing 25 children today, we'd still be doing it, wouldn't we? We'd still be saying things about the children. 25 young men and women now bear witness to the testimony of God in their life. 88 more students said they would like to spend time with a leader talking about the relationship that they have with God, or interested in learning about that relationship. Well over 100 said they would like to be in a small group so that they can grow in Christ. I want you to hear that story, because it's happening in our midst. 25 times last week ago, the angels celebrated as individuals learned that they're sinners, dead, and in need of a Savior. I want you to think for a moment about their stories. 25 individual students have a story to tell. And all they know at this point is just a small amount. They know that they're a sinner. They know that there's only one way in which that sin can be met, the need met in Christ. And for whatever reason, it was at that moment when God from all eternity said, that's when they will pray to receive Christ. So what happened to them? Well, let's look at the text for a minute. Verse 1 of chapter 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is Christ has been born of God. So each student last week discovered that they are what we would call, as Christians, a brother or sister in Christ. They are now in the faith. You have a new brother. You have a new sister, 25 of them. That's part of this family. That's incredible news. Most of them had no idea when they registered for the trip that they suddenly were going to discover that they belonged to a family that was greater than any of them because something happened inside them. They were born again. That's the words that John gives us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. But something else has also happened to them. The law of God or the commandments of God, which before being in Christ are burdensome. We couldn't keep. Now that burden is lifted because they've been set free. It's fulfilled in Christ. These students don't understand all that. Another thing has happened. Look with me at verse 4. For everyone who has been born of God, go up to verse 1, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. So the students, as they're giving their testimonies, they're in Florida, and as they return, they are testifying to the fact that because they now are in Christ, they've been born again, they have overcome the world. Now, the language is very interesting here. The first word, overcome, is an aorist, which means it's past tense. They have overcome the world. Why? Because they've trusted in the one who overcame the world. And who is it? Say his name. Jesus. They have overcome the world because Jesus has overcome the world. But the language in the Greek is very interesting. In the next verse, 5, it says, who is it that overcomes the world? You see, here's the image. They, as new believers, can say, we've overcome the world, and we are overcoming the world. We have overcome the world, and we are overcoming the world. It's an already reality, finished, complete in Christ, something to look forward to for all eternity. But there is a battle. And don't you know that they feel that battle like they've never felt it before? Don't you know that some of those students whose habits were doing things that they shouldn't be doing, drinking, drugs, who knows what else? Don't you know that there was a group waiting for them to return to say, don't you still want this life? Don't you know the battle's real? Of course it's real. If you're in Christ, you know it's real. But they've overcome the world, and they're overcoming the world. These 25 students, like any person who is in Christ, has a testimony. And the testimony is a story of rescue. It is the story of God's rescue in their life. And it is specific, and it's personal, and it's particular, but it's also bigger. It's corporate. It belongs to the whole body of Christ. It's our story as well. And you see, this is very important. Here's why. If I had the time, and each child could stand up here and tell you their story, some of them are going to have stories that you would simply say, wow, what a work of God in their life. Some would have stories of addiction and deliverance. And as the stories were unfolded, there will be some that would not be quite as dramatic. You wouldn't be as tempted to say, wow, wasn't it powerful that one of the students said, I've never really known a day I didn't know Jesus. I didn't give my life to Christ on the Florida trip. I did it when I was 5. But I enjoyed going on the trip and seeing, but the life that a lot of these kids have lived is not my story. I don't really have a testimony. And if she said that, or he said that, and I was standing right here, I would run quickly to that child's face, and I might even kneel down and say, yes, yes, you do have a testimony. Every person who is saved by God has a testimony. And yes, you don't have the same narrative or the same detail in your testimony as some of those here. But you have a testimony, and don't forget it. In fact, your testimony, young lady, young man, at some point is the same as everyone else's. And that is the testimony of God. I don't want you to forget this, brothers and sisters. John, in this text, is telling people that they can have certainty, knowing whether they're going to heaven or hell. And John is telling them that they can have this certainty based on a testimony. And the testimony is God's testimony. I don't want you to forget this. Here's why. We as believers do not think about our testimonies enough. Next Sunday, June 23rd, will be the day in which I celebrate the day in 1982, June 23rd, I came to saving faith. My Young Life leader who led me to Christ that day gave me a quarter, told me to place a collect call to his daughter, my same age, and tell her that I had just asked for Christ's salvation. And he said, you didn't know it, but for the past 2 years, she's been praying that you would see your need for Jesus. I made that call. I went home and told my parents. I began to get in Bible studies. I began to memorize scripture and grow. But I only understood a small, tiny portion of all that was taking place behind the scenes in order for me to be saved. And this is what I want us to see from this text today. For these 25 students who've come to Christ, they came home and said similar things. Mom and Dad, I became a Christian. Mom and Dad, I'm going to start memorizing scripture. Mom and Dad, I want to tell you what happened in my life. But what they don't know yet, and will take time to understand, in fact, a lifetime to understand, is that behind the scene was this sovereign, holy God orchestrating everything so at that moment, these young men and women would give their life to Christ. It's the same work in each of them. And it's the same work in each of us if we are in Christ. It's the testimony of God. And the reason I want us to think on this often is because if we will, and we'll ask God to illuminate the picture of what happened in our life, we will continue to be in awe that this God, this good Heavenly Father, saved us. We will be reminded again and again of His favor and His grace. And John tells us what it is using some very interesting words. If you were doing more than just following along and you were paying somewhat close attention to the text, you heard some very strange and interesting things that have to do with the testimony. In fact, they're so strange and interesting that Martin Lloyd-Jones says this verse here, verses 6 and 7, are the most difficult verses in the book of 1 John. He then goes on to say, not only will I say that, but I'll make the case that these are the most difficult verses in all of Scripture. Well, in about 7 minutes, I'm going to seek to unpack this in a way that I hope is transformational. Let's read these words again. And the reason we're reading them again is because this is the testimony. It's God's testimony. This is He who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. Not by the water only, but by the water and the blood. And the Spirit is the one who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. For there are three that testify, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree. I'm not sure how many of you feel confident in explaining these verses, but let me ask you this question. If these 25 students indicated to me that they would like to understand these verses, would you raise your hands if you feel confident that you could say, this is what the three testify mean? The water, the blood, and the Spirit. Would you want to have a one-on-one with the student and unpack this? Most of us realize there's some interesting words that John has chosen to use. John, this writer of this little letter, is the one who wrote the book of Revelation. He's also the one who wrote the Gospel of John. He's choosing every word carefully because he's being carried along by the same Spirit who's going to bear witness. So what does it mean, these three witnesses? Well, first of all, the Bible from the beginning to the end talks about the significance of two or three witnesses. So John here is giving three witnesses. They're not people, but they testify to a person. The water, the blood, and the Spirit. The water. What does it mean? Many people, upon reading this, immediately go to the cross. And they think about that moment when Jesus has died and he's on the cross, and that there is a spear that has been pierced into his side. And if you know your Bible well, what happened is a mixture of blood and water flowed from the cavity of Christ's chest. Literally, medically, what that means is that his heart burst, and blood and water was the mixture that came from. Many commentators don't believe that that's what John is referring to here. And the reason is because these two terms, the water and the blood, both with a definite article, are set apart. They're two separate things bearing the same witness. So what is the water? Well, most solid commentators believe that the water reference here has to do with the argument that John is making over and over again against the heresies in this day when he's writing that didn't believe that Jesus was fully God and fully man. They believe something like this, that yes, we can't deny that he's a man. But at his baptism, the eternal Christ entered into his body. And then as he did these miracles, the eternal Christ, God, did these things. But then at his death, the eternal Christ left him and went. Therefore, his body dying really wasn't God. You see, John is trying to refute that heresy by saying that he, Jesus, was the person, God. He wasn't just Jesus, the Son of God. He was Jesus, the Christ, the promised Messiah. And this is why it's significant to pay attention to the words. Look with me at what John does. Verse 5. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by the water and blood, Jesus Christ. John changes the words there to indicate that this man is God. His birth, water, signifying that he identifies with us in his baptism. He was fully man. He was fully God. He is fully man. He is fully God. That is the mystery that much of mankind can't accept because it doesn't make sense. But it's the truth. And so John, in seeking to give people assurance, is saying that the assurance comes only in the person, Jesus Christ, who was fully man and fully God. He then moves on and he speaks of the blood. Well, as the water has to do with his birth and his baptism, there the Spirit present at his baptism as well. The blood has to do with his work on the cross. The sacrifices shown from the beginning of Genesis to the end find their culmination in the person of Christ, the high priest, the one great sacrifice. And so as people are understanding this news given from John's pen, his letter to these people, these words, he's saying that this Jesus Christ, the witnesses are the water, and the witnesses are his blood, his atonement. Now, for a moment, you could be lulled to sleep, thinking, yes, we've heard this before. So let me urge you to think differently. Behind the scene of every conversion, all of this had to happen. All of it. So often our testimonies really stop short. They really, in a lot of ways, stop short by focusing on how we've overcome the world. We'll give credit to Christ. We've overcome the world through Christ. But we stop short of seeing all that took place behind the scenes. I don't know how many of you enjoy watching movies. I'm sure many of you do, and you have certain movies that are your favorites, and you perhaps own the DVD. One thing I enjoy about DVDs is they often have the director's cut or the director's comments. And when you watch the director's cut or the director's comments, you see things that you couldn't see before. And suddenly you understand why the camera angle was that way or why they edited this portion the way they did. What I want you to understand is that we are going to spend an eternity gazing at the one who has directed our salvation from all eternity. Every detail of you coming to faith, he knows, and he orchestrated. That is the reason why we ought to think of our testimonies often. If you would pause even this day, just for a moment, and say, Holy Spirit, show me new things about the way you brought me to faith. I believe he will. And suddenly you'll be humbled and in awe of all that took place. It's personal, but it's also corporate. Again, what I mean by that is this. The water and the blood, the atonement, the incarnation, the person of Christ, fully God, fully man, the work of Christ on the cross and the resurrection, all of it had to happen in order for you to have saving faith. And there's one more witness. The water, the blood, and what? Or who? The Holy Spirit. Behind the scene, without you knowing, the Holy Spirit, one of these three witnesses, was moving in such a way that at a particular moment, you had a thought that you had never had before. You had a hunch that you had never had before. You had a desire that you had never had before. For 25 students, a little over a week ago, that happened. You've heard me say it before. At that moment, when the Holy Spirit began to illuminate the word in their life, their eyes were open, their ears began to hear. Their heart, which wasn't sick, but was what? Dead, began to beat for God. And however they did it, whether it was a prayer during a meeting or in a conversation with one of the leaders or a friend, they prayed the sinner's prayer. And they knew that they were born again. But so much was happening behind the scenes. So much that they don't know yet. And they will spend a lifetime learning. In verse 11, John moves towards the climax of this testimony. This is what it says. And this is the testimony that God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. Could it be any simpler than that? You either are in Christ, the one in which the water, blood, and spirit testify, or you are not. If you are in Christ, please look. You have overcome the world, and you're overcoming the world, no matter how defeated you feel. If you are not in Christ, you are still seeking to overcome the world. The world might let you think you're beating it, because in a sense, that's its lie. But you won't. It leads to death now, not just after you take your last breath. You're either in Christ and you have life, or you're not in Christ, you don't have life. That is the message that over 200 students heard. Some of them have already believed, and 25 people for the first time said, I want to be in Christ. They have a testimony. I don't know all the details of their testimony, but I know that this part must be included. There was something born in them. B-O-R-N-E. Both words, born, B-O-R-N, and B-O-R-N-E, are in this text. That which was born, B-O-R-N-E, in their life was the testimony from the Spirit Himself that Jesus is who He said. Today, if you know you're in Christ, praise God for the witness that He's born in your life. If this day you aren't sure, praise God that you're at a place saying, I'm not sure. Now, if you want to be sure, pray now. God, save me. I'm a sinner in need of grace. Save me. If you pray that prayer today, I want you to tell somebody that you came with or come down and tell me. Pray it, and may this be the day which your testimony begins. June 16th, Father's Day, 2013. And over time, if you pray that prayer this day, over time, you're going to see that a lot was taking place behind the scene from all eternity. It's the director's cut. And it will cause you to marvel and be in awe of all that He orchestrated, that you might come to this place this day and say, I have been born again. I need nothing else but Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, your masterful servant, John, gives us powerful imagery, captivating words, and the simplicity of whether we believe or not. Lord God, would you enable every man, woman, and child here this day to believe, to know, to walk in you. And Lord, for those this day who are struggling, not believing in the power of Christ, the one who has overcome the world, feeling defeated by the battle they're still in, oh God, sustain them with the hope that is in their Savior Jesus, whose blood was shed on the cross. We still have a ways to go until you return or call us home. But let us never lose faith that you are with us and that you're leading us, that you will never forsake us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.